Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Parivakacharya Stotar Satoshi Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jaya Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Parivakacharya Stotar Satoshi Srimad His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Grantarad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Oh, sure. No, I don't mind. When I'm at home, I like to see. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Om namo
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 4, The Process of Creation, Text 22. Prachodita yena pura sarasati.
Prachodita yena pura sarasati.
Prachodita yena pura sarasati. Itanvata jasya satim smitam hridi. Itanvata jasya satim smitim hridi. Salakshana pradura bhutkilasyata. Salakshana pradura bhutkilasyata. Same Rishinam Rishabha Prasidatam.
Same Rishinam Rishabha
Prasidatam. Prachodita yena pura sarasati. Itanvata jasya satim smitim vidi. Lakshana pradura bhutkilasyata. Same Rishinam Rishabha Prasidatam. Please chant. Prachodita yena pura sarasvati. Prachodita yena pura sarasvati. Itanvata jasya satim smitim vidi. Salakshana Padura Bukilasyataha Same Vishinam Vishabha Prasidatam Prachodita Yena Pura Sarasati Vitam Vata Jasya Smitim Smitim Hridi Satakshana Padura Bhutkilasyataha Same Vishinam Vishabha Prasidatam So to Prachodita inspired Yena by whom Pura in the beginning of creation Sarasati the goddess of learning Vitanvata amplified Ajasya of Brahma the first created living being Satim Smitim potent memory Hridi in the heart Sva in his own Lakshana aiming at Paduradbut was generated Kila as if Asyata from the mouth Sa he me unto me Vishinam of the teachers Rishabha the chief Prasidatam be pleased. So the translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. May the Lord who in the beginning of the creation amplified the potent knowledge of Brahma from within his heart and inspired him with full knowledge of creation and of his own self and who appeared to be generated from the mouth of Brahma, be pleased with me. Please repeat. May the Lord, who in the beginning of the creation amplified the potent knowledge of Brahma from within his heart and inspired him with full knowledge of creation and of his own self and who appeared to be generated from the mouth of Brahma be pleased with me. May he be pleased with all of us. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As we have already discussed herein before, the Lord, as the super soul of all living beings from Brahma to the insignificant ant, endows all with the required knowledge potent in every living being. A living being is sufficiently potent to possess knowledge from the Lord in the proportion of 50/64ths. Or 78% of the full knowledge acquirable. Since the living being is constitutionally part and parcel of the Lord, he is unable to assimilate all the knowledge that the Lord possesses himself. In the conditioned state, the living being is subject to forget everything after a change of body, known as death. This potent knowledge is again inspired by the Lord from within the heart of every living being, and it is known as the awakening of knowledge, for it is comparable to awakening from sleep or unconsciousness. This awakening of knowledge is under the full control of the Lord, and therefore we find in the practical world different grades of knowledge in different persons. This awakening of knowledge is neither an automatic nor a material interaction. The supply source is the Lord himself, Diyam Patihi, for even Brahma is also subject to this regulation of the Supreme Creator. In the beginning of the creation, Brahma is born first, without any father and mother, because before Brahma, there were no other living beings. Brahma is born from the lotus, which grows from the abdomen of the Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, and therefore he is known as Aja. This Brahma, or Aja, is also a living being, part and parcel of the Lord. But being the most pious devotee of the Lord, Brahma is inspired by the Lord to create, subsequent to the main creation by the Lord, through the agency of material nature. Therefore, neither the material nature nor Brahma is independent of the Lord. The material scientist can merely observe the reactions of the material nature without understanding the direction behind such activities, as a child can see the action of electricity without any knowledge of the powerhouse engineer. This imperfect knowledge of the material scientist is due to a poor fund of knowledge. The Vedic knowledge was therefore first impregnated within Brahma, and it appears that Brahma distributed the Vedic knowledge. Brahma is undoubtedly the speaker of the Vedic knowledge, but actually, he was inspired by the Lord to receive such transcendental knowledge, as it directly descends from the Lord. The Vedas are therefore called aparusheya, or not imparted by any created being. Before the creation, the Lord was there, Narayana Paro Vyakta. And therefore, the words spoken by the Lord are vibrations of transcendental sound. There is a gulf of difference between the two qualities of sound, namely prakrita and aprakrita. The physicist can deal only with the prakrita sound, or sound vibrated in the material sky. And therefore, we must know that the Vedic sounds recorded in symbolic expressions cannot be understood by anyone within the universe unless and until one is inspired by the vibration of supernatural, a prakrita sound, which descends in the chain of disciplic succession from the Lord to Brahma, from Brahma, from Brahma to Narada, from Narada to Vyasa, and so on. No mundane scholar can translate or reveal the true import of the Vedic mantras, hymns. They cannot be understood unless one is inspired or initiated by the authorized spiritual master. The original spiritual master is the Lord himself, and the succession comes down through the sources of parampara, as clearly stated in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So, unless one receives the transcendental knowledge from the authorized parampara, one should be considered useless, vipalamata, even though one may be greatly qualified in the mundane advancements of arts or science. Shukadev Goswami is praying from the Lord by dint of being inspired from within by the Lord, so that he could rightly explain the facts and figures of creation, as inquired by Maharaj Parikshit. A spiritual master is not a theoretical speculator like the mundane scholar, but is Shrotiyam Brahma Nishkam. Because I didn't know what that was, I looked it up. Shrotiyam Brahma Nishkam is from the Katha Upanishad, and it's the second part of a very familiar verse, Tat Vigyanartam Saguru Eva Bhikachet Shrotiyam Brahmanishtam. And the translation is, to understand things properly, spiritual things, one must humbly approach with firewood in hand a spiritual master who is learned in the Vedas and firmly devoted to the absolute truth. So I'd like to beg the blessings of all the devotees assembled and online, and all the disciplic succession. To speak on Srimad Bhagavatam is such a serious charge, and I don't feel myself qualified, but we take our turn. So this purport also is very, very packed, so I think I'll stop early-ish to ask for help in unpacking it. And I have to make a confession, because in the translation, the first line is Prachodita Yena Pura Saraswati. And of course, Saraswati is the goddess of learning. And I looked for her, and I didn't see her in the translation or the purport at all. And I thought, oh, but she's the goddess of learning. And then I thought, where is that verse? And at least Nanda always says before she gives class, Narayanam Namaskritya. Naramcha. Oh, okay. Okay. We'll do it together. I was thinking, yeah. Yes, yeah, so before we recite the Srimad Bhagavatam, we first offer our respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayan, unto Nara Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and to Srila Vyasadeva, the author. So we beg for the blessings of the goddess of learning before every Bhagavatam class. And then when I look that verse up, she's not mentioned in that purport either. And I thought, wow, that's incredible. And so my conditioned self, my, you know, identification with body of a woman, previous conditioning of women's lib or something like that, I thought, why? The goddess of learning isn't even mentioned. But then I thought, well, you can't criticize Srila Prabhupada. And so then what occurred to me was that, although I'm not so scholarly, I've heard that there's some discussion why the name of Radharani isn't mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. But there's some reference, veiled reference, Radhita, you know, the one with the most devotion. Krishna went looking for the gopi who had the most devotion, so her name is there, but in hidden form. And the reason the commentators give is because Srila Shukadeva Goswami, as Radharani's parrot, was afraid to mention her name because it would make him be in too much ecstasy, and he had to give Maharaj Parikshit all these teachings in only 7 days. So just because somebody's not mentioned by name doesn't mean they're not important. Our whole Gaudiya Sampradaya is servants of Radhe Shyam, or aspiring to be. And even, like we celebrated Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja 2 days back, Swarga was reminding me that Prabhupada's father, when he was a little boy, any sage that would come to their house or any renunciate, please bless my son that he becomes a pure devotee of Radharani. So all those benedictions would have come true anyway, but he did ask, and Prabhupada certainly became such a pure devotee of Radharani. And yet he didn't stress so much speaking the intimate glories of Radha and Krishna, as we heard in the reading Madhumati just did, that other spiritual leaders may be known by their name. Oh, Swami such and so, Swami this and that. And Srila Prabhupada is known for his teachings. People that know of Srila Prabhupada also know. No, he came to bring devotional service to Krishna. Bhakti, very specifically. Just this morning I was listening to Prabhupada, and he was saying the Shankarites, they're preaching nirvishesha, impersonal. The supreme is impersonal. And the Buddhists, they're preaching voidism. But we came nirvishesha shunyavadi to cast out this impersonalism and voidism, to save, to deliver the Western countries that have been filled with impersonalism and voidism, and bring the process of devotional service to Krishna with philosophy and lifestyle also, which is incredible. So, just going back, because the purport's so thick, I'll just read little pieces of it and discuss. The very first sentence, as we have already discussed herein before, the Lord, as the supersoul of all living beings from Brahma to the insignificant ant, endows with all the required knowledge potent in every living being. So, the ants, they're very clever. They can find sugar very easily and make a path and organize themselves to go and get it. I don't know if any of you ever have trouble with ants in your house, but I certainly do. And then the last couple months, I kept noticing little teeny sugar ants, like many lines of them, in my car. I was like, why are there ants in my car? You know, first I'd see one, and I'd brush it away. Then I'd see another one and brush it away. Well, long story short, the other day, this is seriously after a couple of months of why are there ants in my car? Or I'd put my arm on the console between the two seats, and a minute later I'd feel this little tickling sensation, and sure enough, there'd be a little ant. So then I actually saw one coming from the glove box, and I brushed it away, and immediately there was another one coming in the same from the same place, and I brushed it away, and immediately there was another one. I'm like, what's in the glove box? And so I opened it up, and I looked, and there was this whole train of like 30 or 40 ants just in a row, and I started pulling things out, and there was a cookie wrapped in a saran wrap, and I could only think, this is from the trip I took up north last October because I bought a bunch of cookies from Radha Sylvester to give to relatives and other devotees that we saw. And it took them a while to find it because that, you know, seriously, it was only the last couple months, so that was almost a year ago. But when they found it, they really made a very good business, and I thought, well, at least they've all had prasadam. And many times they've heard Prabhupada's voice. I don't know how many generations of ants come and go in a two-month period. But Krishna's giving them the intelligence because that's what they want. And similarly, he gave Lord Brahma the intelligence how to create the universe, which is, you know, a different level, but it's still coming from Krishna. And although Vyasadeva approached Narada, Narada approached Lord Brahma, saying, you know, who are you getting your knowledge from? Because you're not the Supreme. And then Lord Brahma explained to him, no, I'm getting it from Krishna. So all of us, we have so many different types of knowledge, and then of course, in the Western world, or the modern world, I should say, because the East follows the West, mostly, knowledge or education is considered to be something you do so you can qualify and get a really good job and make a lot of money. This is the unfortunate misunderstanding of what is true knowledge. The Prabhupada describes that this, towards the end, he says, unless one receives transcendental knowledge from the authorized parampara, one should be considered useless, even though one may be greatly qualified in the mundane advancements of arts or science. So, there are many scholarly presentations, many learned in scriptures, and yet sometimes it just boils down to the very simple understanding that the real problems of life are birth, death, old age, and disease. And unless those problems are being addressed, doesn't matter what kind of degree one has or how expert one may be at so many things, or how much acclaim they may get in a certain field, have we solved the problems of birth, death, old age, and disease? So this very first point that Prabhupada makes that anyone just walking in the door gets is, we're not these bodies. I'm spirit soul. I'm actually the eternal servant of Krishna. That's who I am. That's my real nature. But due to illusion, misunderstanding, I've taken this body and, you know, whatever relatives are there, or possessions are there, or education is there. I think, oh, this is me. But no, it's not. And then it goes, and you get a whole nother body and set of relatives and possessions and education. And we've been at least many of the 8,400,000 species of life and learned so many things. What was I hearing Prabhupada saying the other day? Oh, it's this morning also. He was talking about a German godbrother who said, by the materialistic science, we've accomplished all the aims of the yoga. All the mystic cities are already there, you know, to be lighter than light and be able to fly in the sky. Well, we created airplanes and jets that can fly in the sky, and to be able to make yourself smaller than the smallest and go through stone. Well, we just burrow through the mountains and take trains through. We've done so many things. So he had come to India. This was, Prabhupada said 40 years ago, so it's probably more like 80 years ago or thereabouts. This was 1973 in Paris. But he had come to India in order to find what is God and how to serve him, devotional service. So this is what Prabhupada has given in such a nice, clear, simple way that I'm not this body, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, and he's not never alone. He has his associates in the spiritual world. He accepts Nanda and Yashoda as his parents, or Vasudeva and Devaki, who know that he's God. Nanda and Yashoda, of course, don't, except for once in a very rare moment, and then forget. He accepts boyfriends for playing and picnicking, and so many servants, rak tak pak trak, and so many. And many, many varieties of loving relationships. And for the conditioned souls, he comes again and again whenever there is a discrepancy in the discharge of religious duty, whenever there's too many demons, he advents himself. And in this age, he's come, some places, Prabhupada says, as the Krishna consciousness movement, or in his holy name. So we have access to Krishna very easily. These very simple ladies who sometimes speak very nicely can just make garlands, stringing flowers for offering to Krishna, and make progress on the path back to Godhead. So the Vedic knowledge was therefore first impregnated within Brahma, and it appears that Brahma distributed the Vedic knowledge. Brahma is undoubtedly the speaker of the Vedic knowledge, but actually he was inspired by the Lord to receive such transcendental knowledge as it directly descends from the Lord. So like Lord Brahma, or like the ant, we can beg from the Lord the ability to be blessed with knowledge. Actually, I did hear Prabhupada say in Honolulu that even he was talking about how any part of devotional service is as good as any other part, like the person cleaning the floor is as good as the pujari. And he also said that the ant, if he's crossing the temple room floor and he goes up on the altar and kisses the feet of the deity, he makes it as much advancement as the pujari. And he was saying that, like, for the end, it's like a distance of 100 miles to go to cross the floor. So the thing is, anybody can make advancement in Krishna consciousness. We're not limited by whatever body we find ourselves in, or but we can ask Krishna to please inspire us from within the heart, and please, that's one of the things, was that one has to be inspired or initiated by the authorized spiritual master. The original spiritual master is the Lord himself, and the succession comes down through the sources of parampara. So, begging all the previous acharyas and saints for their blessings, then we can be blessed with enough knowledge to take us out of this miserable material world and to go actually back home, back to Godhead. So I would like to stop and see if anybody has comments or questions, because it was such a rich purport to the comfortable.
This topic of creation is very important. Actually, preaching online, you always get so many questions on creation, really. And it involves a great degree of mysticism, creation. It's not like the laws of physics can explain everything. But the scientists, they hold on to their laws of physics and feel that they can explain everything through that. But it's not possible. And that's why they've invented this Big Bang theory, trying to explain how everything came about, you know. But it's still, there's so many unanswered questions in that theory, and so many holes in it, really. But this topic is very, very important, and unless you take the consideration of mysticism, it's difficult to explain creation, you know, because it's involved. Like the Lord, he imparted knowledge to Brahma within the heart, you know, and then even Brahma himself had to use mystical powers to bring about creation, you know. It's not like you know, but the scientists tend to dismiss this and say there's no need to bring in mysticism, you know, that they can explain everything with their physical laws, but we can see they're making a mess out of it.
Right. Yes, one of the sentences here, this talking about the material scientist can merely observe the reactions of the material nature without knowing. And then he says, the imperfect knowledge of the material scientist is due to a poor fund of knowledge. So what can be done? I mean, scientists or regular materialists are limited, but we have a way to reach out to any individual. I was remembering how when both Sataputta Prabhu and tell me his name. Yeah, Bhaktisrup Damodar Maharaj were still with us. I remember hearing they had some big convention of combining science and religion, invited so many scientists to Mayapur. And they're also individuals. So Sataputta had the mentality, we have to correct the understanding and very meticulously and mathematically. And Bhaktisrup Damodar Maharaj was like, let's make sure there's very nice arrangements for prasadam and that everybody feels comfortable and respected and well taken care of, and we'll also give them our understanding. So because of false ego, most people, and especially educated people, and especially maybe scientifically educated people, they don't want to hear from someone, especially someone who doesn't have 17 degrees. But they would take a pakora or a cookie or, you know, one of Divyanga's lollipops, and hold the book and look at it. And we just don't understand how this movement is being spread, but it is quite incredible. What was that thing you read just now? That this was Satsuru Maharaj wrote that in like 81 or 82, and he said, it seems that Prabhupada's becoming even more well-known since his disappearance. Well, what to speak of now? Honored by, you know, Prime Minister Modi, the whole International Society for Krishna Consciousness is much more recognized as a very international society, very prominent in many places. Even the food distribution taking place in Ukraine for the refugees in that part of the world, it's bigger than anybody else's. And it's just going to keep going more and more. Oh, Ragatmika, I'm sorry, you have the mic, please.
Okay.
The last paragraph of the purport.
Okay.
I'm just curious, did you find this interesting? Sukadeva Goswami is praying from the Lord by dint of being inspired from within by the Lord, so that he could rightly explain the facts and figures of creation. You get that from?
You mean instead of praying to the Lord?
Yeah.
Well, I think he's praying for something to come from the Lord.
Hmm.
He's praying to the Lord, but at least that's how I understand it, but he's asking, please give me, like Prabhupada said, if you so desire that they may be delivered, please give me the power of speaking. Make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. That's the idea that I get. Is that okay? Marumati?
In the start of your class, you're mentioning something about how, you know, other gurus, it was their name, and Prabhupada, you know, he glorified Krishna. And I mentioned that, I think, a couple of times in the class, and I love to mention it again, that how when I was going to Santa Fe and I took world religion class, and there was a page there, and I tried to go and see if I could find it again, but I don't know, you know, the editions keep on changing. But there was a list of all the religions, current religions like that, you know. And so the Hare Krishna, and for each one it was named by their guru. And so it said so-and-so person, the guru, and then the year he was born till the year he left.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the period of that religion, so to speak, you know. But then for Prabhupada, it said Hare Krishna, and it said 1965 or 66, and there was no ending. So I was thinking, this is Srila Prabhupada, you know, there's no ending to it.
Yeah, that's exactly like, what was it a reporter or someone who asked him, what will happen to your movement when you die? And Prabhupada said, I shall never die. I will live forever in my instructions, you know. And my books, yes, and you will utilize. Oh, I did think of one other thing back on the women's lib topic. I remember when I first became seriously interested in chanting Hare Krishna, I had chanted before. I'd even gone up on stage on the musical hair when they were singing because I knew the song and I sang with them. So I'm sure I got benefit, but I had no idea what it was. But when I actually got Srila Prabhupada's books and started to read, and I knew this is what I want to do with my life, one of my friends at the time was more familiar with the movement, and she said, doesn't it bother you that women are spoken of as less intelligent? And I just thought about what had brought me to the place where I was at the time. And I said, I know I've done I made some really stupid decisions in my life. I've done some things that were very unintelligent. So I didn't take it as, you know, but yeah, I just wanted to add that. Okay.
I'm in a room full of like people that are very senior to me, so I'm sure it's nothing that you guys don't already haven't heard. But yeah, the way it's been explained to me is like women are less intelligent, as in practically speaking, like what's the word? What is the word? Like how to use like computers or something like that, maybe. But we're more analytical. Yeah, that's the word. We're maybe less analytical. Mm-hmm. By nature, mm-hmm. but we're more emotionally intelligent because right. our you know physiological composition is you know created to care for children, and so we have emotional intelligence.
Right, right. Okay, so I'm just trying to see, because when you sit here, you have to represent the parampara, and that's what I'm always afraid of. You know, please don't let me misrepresent you, but sometimes things from our worldly experience can be applied, or usually they should all be able to be applied in Krishna's service. So, on that, I'd say it's even a, what do you call it? There are many people that are in the bodies of a male that are very emotionally intelligent, and there are certainly many ladies in the you know who are very brainy, even in terms of analytical and mathematical and everything like that. But what I was thinking to tell is old friend of mine, Sharanagati Dasi, who's passed away many years ago, but she was older than we were. She joined Krishna consciousness at about age 65 or thereabouts. Her daughter had brought her a magazine. She'd been deeply religious in another system before, but she was also from a very upper class upbringing. And she told me that when the women's lib movement was beginning, I mean, I was young, but she was more mature, and she said some of her well-to-do friends said, "We always knew that the women were controlling everything. They just never let the men know." So it's a mundane example, but also we hear Prabhupada describes how a chaste Vedic lady, by her shyness, by her service attitude, she can bring her husband under her control. So it can be done in a good way, and it can be done in like anything. It can be used in Krishna's service. But the qualities of humility, like when I saw Saraswati's not mentioned here, and then I thought, but we pray to her every time, Bhagavatam class, and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati has got her name in his name for being so educated. Oh yeah, and I also remembered Keshava Kashmiri, the great, great scholar of his time, who was so, everywhere he went, he got accolades for his wonderful knowledge. And then when he was coming to Navadvip, which was a center of learning at that time, he heard, oh, there's this Nimai Pandit, young scholar, and he's, you know, something to be, oh, what is this? He's just a young boy. But Keshava Kashmiri was very proud of his knowledge, as often happens, but he was also a very devoted follower of the goddess Saraswati. He worshipped her regularly. And so When he was showing off, basically, to Lord Chaitanya and reciting this 100 verses in praise of the Ganga, wasn't it? And then Lord Chaitanya said, "Well, that's very nice, but there's a few grammatical errors." And he started pointing out, "Oh, you've called Lord Shiva Bharati, how does it go? The husband of the wife of Lord Shiva. So who else could be her husband except for Lord Shiva?" Yeah. So, and a few other things, and the Kashmiri was like, "What?" And he was so startled to be shown up by this young scholar. He was embarrassed, of course. But that night he was praying to the goddess Saraswati, why did you let me be defeated by this little boy? And she came to him in a dream and she said, he's my master. All the demigods and goddesses worship him. He's actually Krishna himself. So there's so many. I mean, Saraswati is a servant of the Lord, and we're servants of the Lord. And whatever position we find ourselves in, whatever lifetime it is, and whatever nature we have, because someone may not be very emotionally adept, even in a lady's body, but if you have that, use it in Krishna's service. If you have a big brain, use it to understand. What is it? Where is it from? I heard Prabhupada quote it. I had this nice class this morning. But my dear sir, if you are at all interested in logic and argument, kindly apply it to the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You will find it to be strikingly wonderful. So logic and argument, if a person's inclined that way. When George Harrison was coming and taking Prabhupada's shelter, at one point he asked, should I just shave up and move in? I mean, he was that serious. And Prabhupada said, no, you're doing better service in your musical career. You spread the teachings of Krishna, you know, as the name of Krishna and this concept of loving God. Put that in your music, and it will, and it did. So many people were reached by that.
Yeah. Also, in this version of the Srimad Bhagavatam that I was given, okay. This e-book version,
okay.
it includes the purports from Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur.
Oh, please.
And he actually does talk about Mother Saraswati.
Oh, please read it. Like, that would be excellent.
It's
Thank
short.
You.
It says, by the influence of time, the Vedic knowledge was lost at the time of annihilation. Therefore, when... Oh, wait. Was that it? Oh, here it is. Okay. Just as the Lord made the Vedas flow from the mouth of Brahma, may he let the descriptions of his pastimes flow from my mouth. That wish is expressed in this verse. Inspired by the Lord, Saraswati, the form of the Vedas, appeared from Brahma's mouth at the beginning of the Kalpa and revealed proper memory in his heart. Saraswati shows Krishna as the object of worship. The Lord says, I think this is from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Oh yeah, Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 14th chapter, verse 3. The Lord says, by the influence of time, the Vedic knowledge was lost at the time of annihilation. Therefore, the subsequent creation took place. I spoke to Brahma, the Vedic knowledge in which bhakti is the essence. But yeah, he does mention, like, Saraswati shows that Krishna as the object of worship.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. That's nice to know. Jai. Okay. Thank you so much, everybody. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam. Ki Jai.